It was a public service announcement about dad jokes. Therefore, if you want me to tell a joke, I will tell you some dad jokes. For example, that young man right there tells the story about how he came into the kitchen and said, "Dad, I'm hungry." And of course, dad replied, "Hi, hungry, I'm dad." All the kids are like, they know the joke. There's another young lady that goes and she said she was driving by the aquarium with her dad one day. And the dad says, "Do you know how many tickles it takes to make an octopus laugh?" And the girl says, "I don't know." And the dad said, 10 tickles, yes. Another young man was traumatized because they were having peas for dinner and the dad spilt the bowls of peas and the dad said, "Oh no, I just peed on the table." So the point of the video was, it was saying survivors of dad jokes, that they're just not funny. And I wanted to share that with you because, first of all, my kids make fun of me all the time because I have dad jokes. I don't know how many times I've walked in and my kids said, "Hey, will you make me a sandwich?" And I said, "Poof, you're a sandwich." And now poor Jalen has an identity crisis. Am I a sandwich? But dads have this weird way of doing things in life, of helping our kids toughen up and take bad jokes, I guess. I don't know. Moms, I guess, don't have mom jokes. If they do tell jokes, I guess they're funny. Guys, dads' jokes are not. But dads have a certain responsibility. We have this, like, kind of mantle on us that is different. And we celebrated moms on Mother's Day and talked about how that they were dedicated and that they, even when they are persecuted, and kids persecute their moms relentlessly at times, but dads, we have this role and responsibility, this mantle on us to lead our kids, to prepare them, and then to release them. And so I want to start with Genesis 18:19, and in this verse, we see a picture of how God had called Abraham to lead. And God says this about Abraham. He says, "For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just." He had called Abraham to lead a nation, to begin a nation. But it started with his family and his household. He called him, and I believe it is an example of how God calls all fathers to be men of responsibility and of authority. And I want to jump up to Romans chapter 13, where Paul is talking about authority, and Paul says this about authority: "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." I want to pause right there to just insert that I believe God established the authority of fatherhood. He established it before the founding of the earth because he himself is a father. He himself took on the role of responsibility of leading. He has a son. He led his son. Eventually, when his son came to earth, Christ, when he was walking on earth, Jesus would say things like, "I only do what I saw the Father do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. I do what the Father instructed me." So we know that God the Father is a God of authority and a God who leads. He has established that. He has passed it along to all men who assume the role of father. Now, Paul goes on to write, speaking of authority, that it exists because it has been established by God, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right. That is the message to children today. Children in the room, do you hear this message? There is no fear of authorities if you do right. What does that mean? Listen to your dads. Now, some of you have adult children. And you probably want to know, can I implement that? No. They're adults, and many of them are their own fathers, and they have their own mantle of authority. But I can tell you, you can still influence them. You can still lead. It's just that when they're adults, they have the decision to follow or not, don't they? They do as a child too, but they better learn, because here's the next part of this. But for those who do wrong, there is some terror. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and you will be commended. But here's the important part, dads, and I want you to hear this last part of this section of the verses, is that for the one in authority is God's servant for your good. Yes, we as adults, we as men and fathers have been given this role of authority. We've been given this mantle of leadership. But two things that we need to be clear about is, number one, it is only because of God's grace that He gave it to us and makes us therefore a servant of Him. Inasmuch as that we have authority, it is only a reflection of His authority over us. Jesus, again, being the example of the Son, comes to earth and says, I do what the Father tells me. I say what the Father tells me. I am under His authority. Even though I have all authority, I was there with Him when He created the heavens and the earth and man. And I'll be there in the end to sit on the throne next to Him. But I still submit to His authority. We as fathers have that same calling, to submit to the authority of God. Because the second thing is, because He has given this authority so that it is for the good of those that you are in authority over. He did not give you authority just to be in charge. Have you ever had that boss that's just in charge? But you know they're really not qualified, and they don't do their job very well. The worst is when it was somebody who used to work with you, right? And then all of a sudden they get that promotion. Now the same guy that you sat in the lunchroom with and joked like 2 months earlier, now that he has a name on his shirt or some kind of badge or some plaque on a door somewhere, he becomes a different person. Have you ever experienced that? What was the difference? They were given a little bit of authority, weren't they? That's not what God's called us to do. He didn't say, I'm going to give you this little promotion. You went from child to manhood to now you're a father. You've got this mantle of authority. You've got this mantle of responsibility. You do that because I want you to do good for those around you. A good manager, a good boss, a good person who's an authority over you is a person who leads you. Not a person who just tells you what to do, but a person who leads you. And that is what God has called fathers to be, leaders. We are to lead our families because we are designed and commissioned to develop our children. And I believe that's the second thing that we can see today for fatherhood, is we are to develop our children. Proverbs 29:15 tells us this, a rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. Children don't just naturally do good, do they? There are the exceptions. And I know everyone in the room is looking at their child and going, well, mine is the exception. No, we're not. I see a lot of shaking heads, no. There's a lot of realists in the room. Children, as we all have, the sin nature and designed to do good, but somehow have been perverted by the sin of the world, and it tends to go not so well. And the writer of Proverbs is telling us that a rod and reprimand impart wisdom. And wisdom is important because Proverbs 6:20 and 23 says, my son, keep your father's command. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Here's the key. Because correction and instruction is the way to life. It's the way to life. Isn't that what we want for our kids? What parent has a child and says, well, I hope this one turns out really bad? No, we have children in our hopes and our dreams, these five awesome little babies that we brought up here today and dedicated to the Lord. Why are they parents bringing them here to dedicate them? Are we dedicating them to a life of poverty? Dedicating them to a life of addictions and failures? No. They're dedicating themselves and their children to a life, hopefully, that leads to Jesus Christ and a life that is filled with life. And life abundantly, Jesus says, I came to give life and life abundantly. We want our children to have an awesome, abundant life. Well, here's how we do it. We give them instruction and at times correction. To use the proverbial description is if you saw somebody and they're running towards the cliff, you know that the bridge is out, they're going to fall to their death. What would you do? Try everything in your heart probably to stop them, wouldn't you? And our own kids, there are plenty of potholes. There are plenty of caverns for them to fall in. And it seems like every day a new one pops up. There's a new path to destruction. You can't even keep up with it. And so we have to be, as parents, and especially as fathers, we need to be men who are developing our children. We're leading them and developing them by instructing. And when the children do not follow instruction or they do not understand it, then we have to come along and correct. If your child comes home and says 2 + 2 = 5, and you just pat them on the head and go, good job, Timmy, and you let them go, don't be surprised when they fail math. You can't be mad at the teacher. You can't be mad at the math book or the school system. If you encourage, endorse, or allow incorrect behavior at home, do not be surprised that it will happen in public. Now, my mom had this philosophy. That meant we couldn't sit on the armchair or the arm of the chair. We couldn't sit on the back of the couch. We couldn't play ball in the house because she said, if you do it here, you'll do it when you go to other people's houses. And I go, no, it's just our, you know, it's our house. We will do it here. But she would correct me. My dad would come along and correct me. Sometimes that involved spanking. Parents, it's okay. Children, it's okay. Parents correct you because they love you. And then I had friends who had parents, and I was like, I always wanted their parents because their parents didn't care. Their parents, like, whatever you want to do. If you think the chandelier makes an awesome swing set, swing from it. But I noticed as we got older, that family didn't get invited to dinner very often at other places. And then later when those kids started having problems in school and problems in discipline, not just with their parents, but then when other authorities are placed over them, they never learned to follow authority. It's because the parents needed to know you have to give correction and instruction. But it's not just something that I believe or something that's in the Bible. This is a cultural thing. I want to read a quote to you from Tupac Shakur. For those of you who do not know who Tupac is, he was a rapper. He did not live the most Christ-like of lives. And in his sin, he was killed and died. And in his book, biography that was written in 2003 called Tupac Resurrection, Tupac is quoted as saying this, I know for a fact that had I had a father, I'd have some discipline. I'd have more confidence. Your mother just can't calm you down the way a man can. Your mother can't reassure you a way a man can. My mother couldn't show me where my manhood was. You need a man to teach you how to be a man. Even in his most deprived mind, sin-filled mind, living a life that is the most unchristlike as you can imagine, he still recognized this truth. Had I had someone to train me, to develop me, to discipline me, I'm always amazed that when modern people quote, without realizing it, the principles of the Proverbs and of the Bible. Some 3,000 years ago, as the pen was on the paper, I can imagine in the Middle East that the writer of Proverbs could never imagine that a rapper from L.A. could be sitting here quoting him. If I just had discipline, I would have life. I would have a way to be healthy. I would know how to be a man. Now, it's not just about men to boys, it's about daughters as well. Dads, we have a lot of responsibilities with our daughters. And I want to read a quote to you from Marie Hartwell Walker. She is an educator and psychiatrist. She writes in an article called Daughters Need Fathers Too. She says this, "Make no mistake, speaking of dads, you are the model for manhood your daughter is likely to look for when she starts to date. If you want to find a man... If you want her to find a man who is faithful to his partner, who is honest and hardworking, who knows how to have fun, who knows how to use money wisely and does not abuse people, drugs, or alcohol, then you need to be that kind of man. Do as I say and not as I do seldom works. Your daughter will believe what you do far more than what you say." We can't be 100% at fault, but men, I want to tell you something. You want to know why that there's a lot of unwed mothers? It's because they didn't have a man who followed these rules and set the example. Now, it's not all on us. Girls grow up and they have their own mind. You want to know why men, why you have a lot of ladies who choose bad husbands and bad boyfriends? We failed to discipline them and we failed to develop them and set the example. So if you have sons, raise them to be men. And if you have daughters, be the example of what kind of man that they should be finding. Because the old adage, if I want a man just like dear old dad, is true. So the kind of example that you set is the result you will get. Because one day, the third thing is, after we love them and we lead them and we discipline them and we develop them, we hopefully one day will release them. In Genesis 2:24, it says this, "A man leaves his mother and father and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." Notice that first part. A man leaves his father and mother. A girl will leave his mother, her mother and father. They will come together with their husband or wife, and they will become one, separate from the original family. There is a releasing, a development that they go and they grow up and they go out and they become men and women on their own. That is when verses like Proverbs 22:6 come in. Start your children off in the way that they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. You know, as your children get older, it becomes more and more difficult to correct them and instruct them, and they will listen less and less. Until they, of course, become mothers and fathers and have children. Then they will come back to you. In desperation, if nothing else. But you have this golden moment, this golden opportunity when they are younger, when they are in your home, to instruct them and give them direction. Because one day, God willing, they will leave. And it is your job, our jobs as fathers, to prepare our kids. Yes, I love my children. Yes, I care for them and I play with them and I do crazy, silly things with them. But my job is not to be their friend. My job is to prepare them so that one day that they will be a man and they will be a woman and they can stand on their own. And that is becoming less and less true not just in our country, but in other places around the world. I want to throw a couple of statistics out here for you. In 1980, according to the U.S. Census, 22.9% of the total population between 18 to 34 were living with a parent. In 2009, 2013, during that census, it reached the highest level recorded in the data set to 30.3%. That means one out of three young adults are still living at home. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But I don't think it is. It should be noted that from 1980 to 2016, that the number of single-parent homes has nearly tripled. The number of men and women who are growing up without fathers is almost four times as much as it was just 40 years ago. Young men and women are not being developed to be adults. Not to pick on our neighbors to the north, but in 2011, the Canadian census population showed 42.3% of the young adults ages 20 to 29 still lived at home. So if you live in the United States and you thought 30% was a lot, move to Canada, nearly 42%. Almost half of the young adults still live at home, compared to 26.9% in 1981. Just a side political note, for those of you who are thinking to vote for a socialist this year, when you have free health care and free education and a kid can stay at home as long as he wants, they will stay at home as long as he wants. Just keep that in mind as you go to vote this winter. Now, is this an epidemic? Perhaps. Are there economic reasons? Yes, there are some. But I also know young men and women today that it's not just because of a certain age, but men and women who have been given the example of growing up, of being adults, of getting out and being on their own, and leading a life that is healthy and God-honoring and Christ-centered. And how do we do that? We lead them, because God has called us to lead. We develop them with the Word of God. We use that for correction and instruction. And one day we release them into the world so they will be men and women of God. My takeaway for today is this. On Father's Day, this Father's Day, I want you to know what your role is. It's not just for today, it's every day of every year. It's this. Our role as fathers is to lead, develop, and release mature adults prepared to navigate the world around us and to discipline them so that they are prepared to live in the world beyond. Many of you know that I no longer have my father here on earth. But in the 26 years that I had him here, he led me. He most certainly disciplined me, instructed me, corrected me in an amazing, gentle way that I have yet to be able to master. And too soon, in my book, he released me. And I have had the privilege of the last 19 years to be a husband, and in the last 15 years to be a father. But nearly every day, I am reminded I do those roles. Even my role as pastor, as spiritual leader, in great part because I had a man, a father in my life here, that I can be like my older brother Jesus and say, I do what my father did and say what my father said. Because what he said and did was good. Men, whether your child is just born or they're an adult themselves or a father themselves, we still can lead. We still can prepare. And even though you may release them, we know that there's always still that connection. And praise God, one day we will all be back together, where there will never be a time where we have to let them go again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you that you gave your son to be the example of what it means to follow a father. And thank you for being the father that you are. And I pray, God, that you would just help us as men to be great dads, to be great husbands, because it reflects on you. Help us to live up to the authority and the calling that you've given us, but help us to remember we're not the ones in charge, you are. So let us serve you, and in our service to you, help us lead others. It's in your name we pray. Amen.